The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
And welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Balls. Well, the Taliban have been issuing a number of statements about how they plan to rule now that they have taken control of the Afghan capital, Kabul. Fraser, what have they been saying and how much credence should we actually put by these statements?
Well, it's a very interesting situation now. We've had Vice Admiral Sir Ben Kay, who is basically running operations in the evacuation effort, admitting that the Taliban are now in charge. So there are something like 900 British troops, 3,000 dual nationals, 6,000 others who were trying to get out there. And we now do so at the convenience of the Taliban. This is the way it works. Interestingly, there don't seem to be any indications at all that the Taliban are seeking to frustrate the evacuation efforts, nor are they going after any of their enemies. Now, that's very different to what happened in Basra, for example, where the revenge killing started almost immediately. So it looks as if the Taliban, or certainly the elders who have taken them, who've taken Kabul, intend to put on a good face for the international community to reassure various Afghans to try to consolidate their hold in the country. So that it might not be as much of an emergency as it looks right now, because I don't think it's going to be, the comparison to Saigon is overdone in this respect, that as far as we can see, there's no reason why the Taliban wouldn't give people as much time as they want to actually leave. The problem is the documents, of course. If you want to leave with a visa, leave with a passport, good luck to you getting any kind of documentation from the now Taliban-run Afghan government. Perhaps that's why the British government has said that it won't actually be looking for such documents for those seeking asylum.
And Katie, the British government has been watching the response from the US in particular. We had Joe Biden's statement last night, which was very unrepentant and very robust in its defence of the stance that the president has taken over the past few weeks. How are cabinet ministers feeling today about what Joe Biden said last night?
Not good. I think the speech has landed badly on the UK side. And I think that's partly because, I mean, we have a situation where clearly Boris Johnson and Ben Wallace have both suggested in their comments that there is no appetite for further intervention in Afghanistan. But I think what has landed badly in terms of Joe Biden's speech is it was clearly very focused on a domestic audience, American citizens. And I think that it's almost seen as having a lack of thought for those affected. And I think when you have the US president ultimately suggesting his little to no regret, if anything, the events of the past day has further encouraged his view it's the right thing to move out. I think that just jars when you're also seeing these videos of Afghans attaching themselves to planes and some later going on to fall to their death. I think for the UK side, one thing is, you know, I think when Joe Biden came in, lots of people, particularly I think those who those who wanted, I think, to see him as very different to Donald Trump for lots of reasons. But there was lots of talk out. You would have a president who wanted to work more, would restate that place in the US as a global player. And I think that that comment is just perpetuating this idea of an America first policy. And the UK wants to strike quite a different tone. So it's going to be interesting in terms of the package tomorrow that we're obviously hearing from Dominic Raab at the moment in terms of what they're going to be offering in terms of Afghan refugees coming to the UK. But I think there is a determination to strike a very different tone from Joe Biden and not be able to be accused of a Britain first policy, even if you have a situation where clearly the UK has not come out particularly well over the past few days.
Just on that, Katie, and sticking with you, how are Conservatives feeling about the performance of Dominic Raab in particular? He's now back from holiday, but there are still stories doing the rounds about him spending a significant amount of time on the beach, something that the Foreign Office doesn't dispute that he was on the beach, but they say that he wasn't on the beach for an extended period of time. Are Conservative MPs feeling generally pretty angry about this, or do they understand that even foreign secretaries have to have holidays?
I think, to repeat a previous answer, not good. I think what's actually been quite striking about the Dominic Raab situation is you don't really get a sense that ministers are scrambling to come out and defend Dominic Raab on the holiday issue. There's definitely some saying that this is a distraction from the much more serious, harder problem to solve, which is what you do now in Afghanistan. And it's obviously easier to bash a politician on the head for the holiday issue. It's simpler. But I also do think there is a sense that it is a strange misjudgment to stay there as long as he did and to fly back when effectively Kabul had already moved over to Taliban rule. So I think it's actually surprised people, because Dominic Raab's reputation within cabinet is for being someone who does follow things to the letter and is very responsible. So I think the decision is seen as a strange one by colleagues, and not helping with the fact that you have had a situation where Boris Johnson has been chairing COBRAs, but over the weekend when lots of this was playing out, the voices filling the airwaves were not those of ministers. Now, it could be because they are working furiously behind the scenes, so it wasn't the time to do an interview. But instead it was figures like Tom Tugendhat, Johnny Mercer, the former defence minister, coming out and talking about it. And I think the silence initially, at least, coupled with the fact that you had Dominic Raab on his holiday, means that people are less willing to give it a favourable interpretation as to what was really going on.
Well, Fraser, Raab has been trying to make up for that today by talking about what he describes as a bespoke programme of assistance for Afghan refugees, while the Labour Party, Stephen Kinnock in particular, have been calling for Britain to welcome tens of thousands of Afghans to this country as they try to flee. Do you think that the government has really got its finger on the pulse of how much support Afghans trying to flee the country are going to need?
Well, there's so many questions there, including, like, first of all, how they get out of Afghanistan, how they would make the journey. Now, Dominic Raab does have quite a good record on this. I think what he's done with the Hong Kong situation has been admirable. He's been taking quite an open-hearted approach to anybody wanting to leave Hong Kong and come to Britain. And he's saying pretty much he's going to do the same here. He's not saying how many refugees are going to come, but he's using words saying the UK is a big-hearted nation. Now, many of his critics would give a horse laugh to that, thinking, well, isn't Brexit mean you're really tightening the immigration rules? Well, it does, but it also means that we're being a lot more liberal than other countries, and we can afford to be, specifically for something like this. So it wouldn't surprise me if what they soon do is something equivalent to the Syrian refugee scheme. I think something like 20,000 refugees have been settled in Britain since that was launched about 7 years ago. And we've already let in about 3,000 interpreters. I mean, 20,000 is not a significant figure for a country like Britain that absorbs far more than tens of thousands of migrants every year. That's net migration. So I do think we can expect a generous offer. But of course, how on earth would they get to Britain in the first place if they can't leave the country right now? But again, this depends. Are we going to be looking at a massive refugee situation? The scenes from the airport, Isabel, you're right, they're absolutely shocking. I don't think anybody's going to forget when the history of this is written. When people are looking back in 50, 60 years' time, they're going to be still thinking about the bodies which came dropping off the aircraft. But I spoke to a friend of mine who's in Kabul today, and she was saying that the streets are actually quite quiet. You've got some shops that are open, hotels are still taking bookings. The Taliban seem to be quite serious about not allowing looting and not allowing any burglaries. There's potential for things in Kabul to be not as bad as we think, in which case there might not be the immediate refugee crisis. Now, that can change, right? Only a fool would take the Taliban out of their words when they're saying that they're not going to go on a mission to go and decapitate the Afghan government officials. I mean, for example, they've said that they're going to grant an amnesty for those who worked with the previous Afghan government, and that's something which the old Taliban would never have done. So there is the prospect of a refugee situation not being quite as bad as we fear. And Dominic Raab, I think, will do as much as he can. In my view, we should have been a bit more generous to the Syrian refugees. 20,000 is not a big figure. But we'll see, I guess, where this ends up. I would not expect him to put a figure on it, though, anytime soon.
And Katie, just looking forward to tomorrow, we've got a debate in the Commons from 9:30 until 2:30, and the Lords are going a bit longer tomorrow. They're debating until 7 p.m. What can we expect in the Commons in particular?
Well, We know that the government are going to lay out the specifics of the offer to those coming from Afghanistan, as Fraser was just saying, probably something similar is what we're hearing to the Syrian scheme. So I think we're going to see probing on that. I think you're going to see a push from Labour for effectively the government to do more, and be interested to see how they go about finessing that, where they think the government should have more action. And then I think we're going to see a lot of anger also aired in the Commons chamber about the situation we're in. We know from the interventions over the weekend that there is deep unease amongst Labour Tory MPs that this was allowed to happen in the first place. So I think that'll be part of that. But I think when it comes to, I suppose, who the government is focusing on helping the most when it comes to those coming from Afghanistan, if they can get here, I think we're already seeing a strong push for, yes, those who have worked with the UK government, who have worked in that sense, interpreters, but also women and girls who clearly may not have worked with the UK government, but their life is being turned upside down by the fact that you now have the Taliban in charge. And I think an offer to those people too.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Fraser. And thank you for listening.